Take your Bible, turn to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Whew. Is anybody else out there warm?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. I've been threatened with my life if I take my jacket off. I'm teasing. Daniel chapter 10, we're going to read verses 18 through 21 together. We'll read this passage responsively, Daniel chapter 10, verses 18 through 21, and then we'll jump right into the sermon tonight. Let's read responsively. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, help us tonight. Teach us the truth. Lord, use me to help your people. Help us to understand the scripture. Help us to love the scripture. Help us to, Lord, help us to use it aright and help us as we do what it says. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, tonight, I'm going to take a truth that we all know and just look at it. I want to examine a truth that might not make as much sense to you right now, but it will. It'll strengthen you. It'll help you in your everyday life. Tonight, we're going to talk about the Bible in the Bible. The Bible in the Bible. I call this the authority of Scripture. First of all, and you've heard me say this hundreds of times, are the words of God.
Yes, sir.
These are the words of God. They're not the words of man. Amen. They're not God's thoughts, and God gave them to man, and man wrote them. And don't get mad at me, because I've heard a lot of famous preachers use this statement. It's because of their Southern Baptist training. When you hear, well, Paul was writing a letter to the church here. Paul didn't write a letter. Paul was writing God's words. It may have been sent in as a letter, but it was written by God in heaven before the man was created. These are God's words. It's not the letter of Paul. It's not the book of Daniel as far as Daniel's words and Daniel's thoughts with God inspiring them. That's Shakespeareism, and that's not God. God gave it word for word. Now, man did not write the Bible. God didn't give man the thoughts, and man put it in his own words. You say, why? Because man would be a sinner, and then this book would not be alive.
Amen.
Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There has to be an every word Bible somewhere.
That's right.
Amen. As a matter of fact, he is the word of God. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Yes,
and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Can I tell you something? Jesus is the living word of God. And it's not our job to mess with it.
Amen.
It's not our job to change it. It's not our job to take its authority away. These are the words of God. By the way, man had nothing to do with the writing of it. All he did was pen it. All he did was take his pen and God said, write this down. Yes, sir, I'll write it down. That is exactly what man did in, quote unquote, the writing of the word of God. They are God's words. You say, well, this is styled after Paul. No, God used Paul to pen it, and he found a man that would meet that. But if you read through it with God, it's consistent no matter who the writer is.
That's right.
They're looking at it poetically, not scripturally. Now, I'm going to share some things with you, and some of you might unlearn something, and some of you will learn something. Man did not author any of the Bible. God did. Man has fiddled with God's word and the authority of God's words way too much.
Yes,
take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 22. There are a lot of people that think that There is an unpardonable sin for people that change the Word of God. That is not true. But I want to show you something. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Now, he's talking about the Bible. Look at verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from things which are written in this book. Now watch me. Did it say if it takes the word, if we take the words away? No, it didn't. It said if we take away from the words. What do you take away from words? Authority. If you take the authority of the Word of God away, if you cast doubt about the authority of the Word of God, you're in danger of people dying and going to hell. That's exactly what it's talking about here. If, everybody listen to this, if we don't have a perfect Word of God, we don't have a perfect salvation.
You're right.
Because we don't have a perfect Savior, John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 and verse 14. There has to be a perfect Word of God for every, and please listen to this statement, every language of people. For the English-speaking people, it is the King James Bible.
Yes. Amen.
Now, the Spanish folks don't have the King James Bible. They have a different translation of it because it was translated at a different time for the Spanish folks, and it's identical to the King James because it came from the Greek and the Hebrew. And it's amazing how well it sorts through there. But I want you to notice something. It's not losing salvation. It's taking away from God's authority from the words of God that prevent people from being saved. Man wants to be more intelligent than God. Man has decided that he can understand God and explain it to his fellow man better than God can.
No.
Can I tell you something? If God's able to make the whole world and man in 6 days, he can explain his own words quite well. Tonight, I want you to see the authority of the Bible in the way that God wants. Not trying to stimulate an intellectual response. I want God's words to have their authority as God intended them to be in your heart and in your life. Now listen to me very carefully here. I don't plan on mentioning a bunch of names or different things like that. It's not going to be highly technical, but it's going to help you understand something here. Now, first of all, point number one, and don't get too excited. All of the Bible is God's words. The Old Testament is as relevant as the New Testament. Now, let me tell you something. When God wrote the Bible, he didn't have it broken down by Old Testament and New Testament. That's man. That's not God. I'm not saying it's wrong. But that is man, not God. I don't know that in heaven that what we call the book of Daniel will be called the book of Daniel in heaven. Everybody understand that? That's man's title to it. It was given through a man named Daniel. So we termed it the book of Daniel. But it's still God's words, not man's words.
Yes, sir.
Everybody understand that? Don't get mad at me. Did you know that the verses and the chapters weren't divided in the Greek and Hebrew?
That's right.
That's man, so that we have the ability to quickly refer to certain passages. I'm not saying that the Bible's wrong because of that. It doesn't change the words. It doesn't change the sentence structure. If you look at it, many verses don't stop as an entire sentence. They continue on and continue on. And there's paragraph signs that things were written in paragraph form in the original manuscripts. We broke it down, put it into references so that it's easier to get through as we read through and locate words and verses much more quickly, but that wasn't necessarily inspired by God. That was put there by man. the words and the grammar and the punctuation were inspired by God.
Yes.
Whether in heaven it says Daniel 10:21, I don't know. But we'll understand what those verses are. Everybody got that? Okay, I'm not trying to cast doubt on the Bible. I'm just showing you, if you look in the New Testament, you'll see the gospel according to Luke. It wasn't the gospel according to Luke. It is the Bible penned by Luke. It's not the revelation to St. John. By the way, St. John, that was Catholic. Just so you know. That's the Catholic influence. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. So, the Old Testament is as relevant as the New Testament. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy. We're going to use our Bibles tonight. So get your thumb licked up and 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to show you something. And I want you to notice some words that are used here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. All. Everybody look at me. Does that mean some of? Does that mean part of? Does that only mean New Testament? No, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I want you to notice something. It says all scripture. Now, we started in Daniel chapter 10. I want you to notice something in Daniel 10, verse 21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. We have the word scripture in the Old Testament. There is no difference in the authority of the Old Testament as there is in the New Testament. Listen to me very carefully. Mr. John Calvin and the Catholics and others have made it to where we say Old Testament is law, New Testament is grace. That is a bunch of bad doctrine and it's wrong.
You're right.
People never were saved by the works of the law.
Amen.
Hebrews teaches it that we weren't saved by the works of the law or by the blood of bulls and goats and doves. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Old Testament people got saved the same way New Testament people do.
Yes.
We look back at Calvary. They were looking ahead to Calvary. That is the only difference. Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Adam, by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Moses. Hey, by faith, they got saved.
Yes.
We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves.
Amen.
There's no such thing as Old Testament law and New Testament grace. Everybody doing okay? Matter of fact, the New Testament says the law was given as a schoolmaster to show us our need for salvation, book of Colossians. That law was given to show us our need for a Savior. That's what the law is for. It doesn't save anybody. It shows you where you're out of line, where you broke the law. The Old Testament is quoted, listen to this, over 850 times in the New Testament. If the Old Testament isn't alive today, why did God re-quote it in the New Testament 850 plus times?
Good point.
Everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
Well, that's the Old Testament, Brother June. I don't understand it real well. We don't need it. It's the Old Testament. I hear people say that all the time. You need it as much as you need the New Testament.
That's right.
Now, hang on for a second here. The word... The word scripture is used 52 times in the Bible. 51 times in the New Testament, one time in the Old Testament. Every time it's in reference to Old Testament scripture. Every time it's in reference to the Old Testament, not the New Testament. Everybody doing okay? Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 4. Let's see what Jesus said. When in doubt, find out what Jesus did. How many of you would trust what Jesus said?
Yes,
All right, here we go. Matthew chapter 4. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. I think that statement is hilarious. If you didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights, it's obvious you would be hungry. All right, verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Watch this. But he answered and said, "It is written." What was written?
Scripture.
Scripture. "Man shall not live by bread alone," but watch this, "but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That's quoting the Old Testament.
Yes.
Then the devil took him into a holy city and setteth upon a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written." Now you have the devil quoting the Bible. "He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus saith unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Okay, we've got Jesus quoting the Old Testament. We have the devil quoting the Old Testament. Verse number 8. "And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and glory of them. Saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Book Exodus. So Jesus fought the devil, fought the temptation of the devil with the word of God. And it was all Old Testament scripture. If Jesus himself, the written word of God, was using the Old Testament to defeat the devil, guess what? The Old Testament is as relevant as the New Testament today. You got Mr. Calvin in your hyper-dispensationalist, Mr. Schofield, in the Schofield Reference Bible, that goes through, well, people in Adam's day got saved one way. That got saved after the law under Moses got saved another way. The people between the Old Testament and the New Testament got saved another way. The people during the time of Jesus got saved a totally different way. And the people after the resurrection got saved another way. There's five different gospels. That is a bunch of bad doctrine. It's as much bad doctrine as the Old Testament being law and the New Testament being grace. It's the same crowd. Everybody doing okay? They're misquoting and taking the authority away. When somebody tells you, well, that's Old Testament, you don't need that. Tithing's not New Testament. It's Old Testament. No, it's Bible.
Amen.
And by the way, it is in the New Testament. But may I say this, whether it's in the Old Testament or New Testament, did you know in the New Testament it doesn't say thou shalt not kill? So does that mean we can go out and kill anybody we want and it's okay because God didn't say it in the New Testament? Everybody doing all right? Why is it we pick and choose what we want from the Old Testament? I better hurry on here. The New Testament and the Old Testament are equal because they're equal in authority, because they're equal parts the word of God. You know, there was only about 400 years between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew. There are longer periods of time between the book of Genesis and the book of Exodus than that. So it's not a period of time necessarily. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun right now. We need to read and study and look at the Old Testament with the same authority and the same relevance as the New Testament. It is all the scripture of truth.
Yes.
It's all the scripture of truth. The Old Testament is as much important as the New Testament is. There are things in the Old Testament that prophesy what will happen that haven't even happened yet. Some of what was prophesied in the Old Testament did happen, but not all of it. Very interesting. We read in Daniel chapter 10, it talks about the king of Persia, or the prince of Persia. Do you know what Persia is? Pardon?
Iran.
It's Iran-Iraq area. And also talks about Grecia. Greece. Greek Empire. It talks about other places. And all these things are prophecies about what will take place. But I want you to know it's talking in reference to Scripture. Okay? Everybody doing all right? Now, so I got to hurry here. All of the Bible is God's Word. The Old Testament is as relevant as the New Testament. For somebody to get up and say, Old Testament is law, you don't need that, you need the New Testament grace, they've just taken away from the authority of that book right there. They have just said part of the Bible's not as important as other parts. Can I tell you something? Genesis 1:1 is as important as Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. It's just as important. By the way, maybe more important today, in the beginning, God created, because we got a bunch of stinking evolutionists out there. Well, we don't need that anymore. It's Old Testament. Okay. But my Bible's a lot different than yours then. Because King James Bible's the same all the way through.
Yes.
Can I teach you how to read the Bible? Don't read it according to what you think the author is saying. Read it according to who the author is. That's God.
Amen.
When I read the Bible, I don't say, well, I'm reading through the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah says right here, Isaiah didn't say it. God said it. Jeremiah didn't say it. God said it. Daniel didn't say it. God said it. If you read through the Bible as God speaking to you, not man translating what God said to him, because man didn't translate it, is all he did was write it down. God didn't put the words in man's mind and man put it out here, because there's too much sin in this head right here. Everybody doing okay? God didn't come to Paul and inspire him like Shakespeare was inspired to write Macbeth. Or Romeo and Juliet. Romeo, that's it. I was thinking of the Little Rascals version. Oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou? Sorry. Here I is. Alfalfa. Or who's the... No, Buckwheat. That was it. Here I is. You know, inspiration. You can get inspired to write something. Okay, that's not what God meant by inspiration. Inspiration is God breathed. God spoke. When you speak, breath comes through. If you have no air, you have no voice. When I get done preaching on Sundays, and I've preached hard, I hurt right here across my diaphragm because I've been pushing air. Say, my voice doesn't hurt, my diaphragm hurts. If I preach a real hard sermon, my wife will tell you, don't talk to me for about 30 minutes afterwards because I'm like this. And it's not because my voice is out. I don't have any push left in my diaphragm. I got to let that thing rest a little bit. It's wore down. Now, inspiration is God breathing it, him speaking it to man, and man write it down. And for you to take the authority away from the Bible, you're in a heap of trouble with God. We cast doubt on the Bible that way. By the way, don't listen to preachers that do.
Amen.
I got to hurry here. Whew. Number two, Scripture is how we overcome temptation. We read Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, when Jesus was tempted by the devil himself. Can I tell you something? The only way to overcome temptation is the Word of God. You are not strong enough to do it every time in your flesh. I'll promise you. Jesus battled Satan with in temptation with Scripture. Take your Bible, turn to James chapter 1. It's after the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, James chapter 1. Man, I got to hurry here. I'm going to read about four verses here. We're going to start in verse number 22. Now, I want you to notice the words here. But be ye doers of the word. That's the word of God. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That doesn't mean a glass like this. It's like looking at yourself in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. In other words, you think you're better than you are. You look better to yourself than anybody else. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the Bible, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Lord have mercy. Thanks, Brother Joe. I needed another pizza. God said we're supposed to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Because when you only hear the word of God and don't do it, you're going to be like a person looking in the mirror saying, well, I might not be everything should be, but I can take this. I'm good enough. I can do this. You're going to go leave that. You're going to forget that you can't do it, and you're going to get wiped out. Everybody doing all right? Let me say it this way. I was listening to Brother Lester Roloff here in the last couple of weeks. Found a neat website. Found out if you go to roloffenterprises.com, you can click on, they have a listen now button there, and they have his preaching going 24/7. So it doesn't matter what time of day or night, man, I can get Brother Roloff screaming and hollering at me, man. It's great. 5 o'clock in the morning, hit that thing, and well, here we go. And man, he can cut loose at that hour of the morning, let me tell you. Now, wait a minute, I heard Brother Roloff recently say this. We ought to keep our lives so full of the Word of God that there's no room in the bucket for temptation. Now, you had to understand Brother Roloff to appreciate that. Did you know if you had a 5-gallon bucket and you keep it full to where there's no room for temptation to fill it, that it's less likely to overtake you? You need to keep your life so full of the Word of God that when the temptation comes, God can use the Scripture that you have put in your life and in your mind so that you say, I shouldn't do that. The Bible says this. You might not even know you knew that verse. But boy, when it comes like a freight train. Oh, I shouldn't do that. Yeah, I put enough Bible in me. Some of you expect to be Joe spiritual, Pentecostal, charismatic, and then you want a word of knowledge because you don't know what to do. But when you didn't put the Word of God in there, there's no word to have knowledge about.
Good point.
These charismaniacs that get up, oh, I got a word of knowledge. No, they don't. They don't have the word in their life to get knowledge from. And if it goes against what that word says, it's the wrong word of knowledge.
Right.
It's the devil misquoting the Scripture to them.
Amen.
He misquoted Scripture to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. He misquoted Scripture to Jesus and took the authority away in Matthew chapter 4. The devil knows the Word of God and he's trying to use it against us. And he wants to use it against us to take the authority away from God so that you put it in yourself. Everybody doing all right? Read it. Memorize it. Listen to it preached as often as you can. By the way, listen to it preached the right way. By the right people. And I'm going to go ahead and say this. Don't read commentaries. I say, preacher, what commentaries do you recommend? Oh, there's 66 of them. They're right there. What commentaries do you use? None. Well, do you use Matthew Henry? No. Matthew Henry didn't even preach salvation by grace. Do you use Funken Wagnall? No, I don't. I have a Funken Wagnall homiletical review book because it was printed in 1921 that somebody gave me. I haven't used any of it.
How about
Barnes books? You say, do you use Mr. Schofield? Do you know that Mr. Schofield believed in hyperdispensationalism and Calvinism?
Right.
didn't even believe in salvation by grace. And if you look at his notes throughout his Scofield Reference Bible, many places in the Bible it says, well, in better translations, it says this. And the RV omits this verse. And in the original manuscripts, it didn't have this word, so you can omit these. You can go to the book of 1 John, it's talking about the Trinity, and in Mr. Scofield's notes it says, in the most common translations, these verses are omitted. You start fiddling with the Word of God, I'm done reading you, dude.
Yep.
Now, I have some Scofield reference Bibles, but I don't ever use the notes. One of them is, most of mine were given to me, I don't think I've even ever bought one. I'm not saying it's a bad Bible because they didn't change the scripture. The new Scofield has changed the King James scriptures, just so you know. And that shouldn't shock us because of what their notes say. You have to buy what they call an old Scofield or you're getting the wrong Bible. Everybody doing all right? Fill your bucket with the Word of God. Fill your life with the Word of God. Read it. Memorize it. How many verses in that book have you ever memorized? Oh, my soul. Probably 6-8 years ago. I went through the Bible in about 2 or 3 months. And I have somewhere in the, I have right at 4,000 verses of the Bible memorized. I just went through counting. Can I tell you something? I didn't set out to memorize that many verses. But I've read it so much, I can sit there and quote Scripture. Most of the time, I'm not even turning to Scripture. I'm quoting them. Not because I'm so smart. It's because I need it so much. Everybody doing all right? Read the Bible. Memorize the Bible. Fill your life with the Bible. Hear it preached and preach the right way. Can I tell you something? If you're tempted to smoke, I don't think anybody in here smokes. But if you're tempted to smoke, before you light your cigarette, open the Bible and read it for 15 minutes. And then bow your head and say, "Dear Lord, would you bless this cigarette to the nourishment of my body? Let's see if you smoke it." Before you go out and drink alcohol, why don't you sit down and read the Bible for 15 minutes and say, "Lord, now please fill me with your Holy Spirit and bless me as I drink this alcohol." You're going to resist the temptation. Everybody look at me. I preached on things that you don't struggle with. Before you open your mouth and start talking negative about another Christian brother, why don't you read your Bible for 15 minutes and see what God says you should do?
Yes, sir.
Before we gossip and complain about somebody, well, this person should know better. How about we open the Bible and read and see what God says about your life? Everybody doing all right? Man, that one just went to meddling, didn't it? Read your Bible before you do those things. Before you listen to the wrong music, the contemporary Christian genre of music that's popular these days, put out by quote-unquote fundamentalists. I am sick and tired of what fundamentalists call gospel music these days. It's a syncopated rock beat, and we think it's okay because Dr. Messemup 30 years ago was okay. Such and such church 20 years ago was fine, so it must be okay today. It's still wrong.
Yes.
Before you cuss, how about you open your Bible and read it for 15 minutes? You're probably less likely to say, I was dealing with a businessman this week, and we were going through a situation with our building program, and all of a sudden he blurted out and took the Lord's name in vain. He said, "Oh, Pastor, I shouldn't have said that." I said, "Don't apologize to me. Apologize to him. You talked about God, not me."
Yep.
He said, "Ouch." I said, "That's why I'm not a Methodist. You are." I said, "I just believe what the Bible says." He changed the subject real quick. He was done. I mean, he gave up. I don't think I have to worry about him taking the Lord's name in vain in my presence again. I wasn't mad at him. I didn't say anything unkind. I just said, apologize to him, not me. He didn't curse me. He cursed him. That's all I said. Everybody doing all right? Before you watch the wrong thing on television, why don't you read your Bible for 15 minutes and see if you should? Boy, that's good stuff, isn't it? Number three. So we said number one, all of the Bible is God's words. Old Testament and New Testament are both relevant. Number two, Scripture is how we overcome temptation. And number three, Satan and sin cast doubt on the authority of the Bible. Satan and sin casts doubt on the authority of the Bible. Now listen to me very carefully.
Brother June, did you know that for you and I to agree, we have to agree on truth? Do you know there is no real agreement unless there's truth involved?
Yes.
We'll sign a loan for our church building. And they'll have a what they call truth in lending document. No, truth in lending means here's your terms. This is the truth of the actual entire document. Notice the first word, truth. We have to come to the agreement of the truth of terms and that we're all going to abide by those terms.
Yes.
That is the truth of the document. Everybody understand that? That's called a truth in lending document.
For us to agree, we have to agree on truth. When you take the authority away from that, there's no agreement. Because then we decide for ourselves what truth is and what truth is not. We decide for ourselves what we'll teach and preach, not what God said. Do you know I teach and preach things that I don't like? Isn't it amazing where these people say, well, that's Old Testament. You shouldn't preach tithing. That's Old Testament. Okay, they just cast doubt on the Bible, folks. Well, that's why their churches have gone contemporary. We can have the rock music and we can have Pastor Bob. We'll call the preacher by his first name. He'll get up in his little turtleneck sweater and sit on a stool and put his little Garth Brooks microphone in his ear into his mouth and get there and we'll use our pinpoint or what do you call PowerPoint. We'll use our giant screens and follow the bouncing ball and we'll do all these things and we'll be high tech, high brow, high class, and no low truth. We decide what truth is. One of the biggest Bible colleges in America right now, not one I graduated from, one of the biggest Bible colleges in America right now, they're young people, they're young ladies, wear blue jeans to sports activities. On the West Coast, their girls' sports team wears shorts. They're all being now accredited so that their students can get tax breaks. Which means they're going to water down their message because they have to get a government approval. Everybody doing all right? There's one in Tennessee, there's two in California, and others that are doing it by the droves. What is that? They're not in agreement on truth. We'll decide. One of those pastors... He said, when I take our young people skiing, I make my wife wear breeches because it's more modest for her to wear breeches on the ski slope than it would be a dress. Well, then she shouldn't be going skiing. Everybody doing all right? I have no problem saying that. That's what liberals are doing with the Constitution today. Let's take away from the authority of the Constitution. Free speech. Oh, Constitution says everybody has the right to say whatever they want. No, it does not. Do you know if you walked into a crowded building, hollered fire, and caused a panic, and there was no fire, you can be put in jail? Well, it's my right. I have the right to say that. No, that's not what free speech is. Free speech is the government, you have the right to say, I disagree with the president. I disagree with Congress. You have the right to say those things. You don't have the right to take the
effigy of the president, cut his head off and pour ketchup on it and hold it in front of national television, and that's not free speech. That's a treasonable crime. How about we take the former president and do that? Find out how fast we end up in jail. Everybody doing all right? See, what we're doing is our former president cast doubt, and our Congress has been casting doubt for generations on the Constitution. Well, the original writers couldn't have known these things. They really didn't mean this. The right to bear arms. Well, you don't need an assault rifle. You shouldn't have a magazine that carries X number of bullets because you can't use that many when you're out hunting anyway. Did you know that the Second Amendment wasn't about hunting? It was about defending yourself against the tyranny of your own government?
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir. Reach it.
I want a big magazine for that.
Yeah, buddy. I want a Big Mac and a big magazine. Amen. Whew. Throw them the Big Mac and watch them scramble for it so that they all gather together and you have to use less bullets, amen? Now, wait a minute. The liberals are doing the same thing constitutionally. We're breaking down the Constitution. Why is it it's okay for the Muslims to have their hijabs and their Muslim prayers, but a Christian can't take his Bible to school? I'm headed somewhere. Hang on here. Satan got man to look at God's words differently and diminish the authority of God's word in Genesis chapter 3. Ha! Adam and Eve, you know you're not going to die if you eat that. God's not going to kill you. God wouldn't do that. God loves you. Yeah, he loves you, but he's also going to do what's right. Listen to these statements and I'll finish. People who diminish the importance and the relevance of the inspiration of the Word of God are diminishing God's authority in this book. Any preacher that stands up and says the King James Bible is not inspired or the inspiration is dead is a heretic and he's diminished the authority of the Word of God, and I don't care what his name is. You take the inspiration away, you took the life away. These are then not the living words of God. They're dead words. Well, they were only inspired in the originals. Then you have a dead Bible, and Jesus is of no value because he is still alive.
Amen.
The inspiration and the preservation go together. They're not separate.
That's right.
Any preacher who gets up and tells you that book is not inspired, by the way, if it's me, it's wrong doctrine.
Right.
It is bad doctrine, and it's taking the authority away from the words of God. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. These weak-kneed little pussy-footing, ear-tickling preachers that get up in their articles of faith, well, we preach only the King James Bible because we think it's the best translation. That's about as Casper milk toast as you get. It's not that it's the best translation. It is the words of God.
Amen.
It's not just a translation of the words of God. They are the words of God to the English speaking people.
Yes.
Everybody doing okay? I read, when people go to churches and ask me about churches, I read what their articles of faith are. I find out where they're going to be just by reading what their doctrinal statements are.
Yep.
I had a man recently make this statement to me. He was trying to tell me about somebody that he believed was going to be such a great spiritual help to him. This is what he said, word for word. I wrote it down because he made the statement twice. And I quote, He is doctrinally sound, but he's not a King James Bible person only.
Impossible.
Well, if you're wrong on the Word of God, your doctrine's going to be wacky too.
Right. Right.
Just so you know. Strong in doctrine. He's doctrinally pure. but he doesn't use the King James Bible. What happened to the Word of God being a doctrine?
That's right.
Matter of fact, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. If you don't have the Word of God, how do you have good doctrine? And I don't care if it's Charles Stanley or Chuck E. Swindoll, when they're using the wrong Bible, they're using wrong doctrine.
You're right.
I don't care if it's Billy Graham or Franklin Graham. They're using the wrong Bible. They have bad doctrine.
Yes, sir.
Franklin Graham is no more fundamental than the Pope. Everybody doing all right? This ding-dong Pastor Jeffress from Dallas, First Baptist Dallas, doesn't even use the King James Bible. He's a Fox commentator. Pastors a huge church in Dallas, Texas, Southern Baptist Convention. He's wrong on doctrine. By the way, they have their Sunday morning rock concert and contemporary service, and they have their old people service where they have what they call the old-fashioned kind of service. That stuff's out of the pit of hell. And I'll tell you where it starts. When you change the Bible, it's easy to change what type of service you have.
Yes.
I'm not saying that Pastor Jeffress isn't having people saved from time to time. But I promise you, he's not having as many people saved as he would if he went back to preaching the King James Bible. He's using his money to support colleges like Baylor University and all the Southern Baptist colleges that promote everything but salvation and the Word of God. Did you know that Baylor University is a Southern Baptist college? That's where Dr. Lester Roloff went to Bible college. And he fought it while he was there. Took his milk cow. Milked his way through Bible college at Baylor University. Literally walked his cow into Baylor University and milked his cow for 4 years to get through college selling milk. He made it. There has to be a basis of truth. If there is no truth, you have no Word of God and you have no life. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Folks, if we don't have an every word Bible, we don't have life. And we don't have eternal life.
You're right.
And if the Word of God is not inspired, there's no life in it, it's dead, then let's shut the church down and not ever go to church. Let's quit playing religion. Let's quit taking away from the authority of the Scriptures. To make statements, he's doctrinally sound, but he's not a King James only person. Be careful who you listen to on the radio. Everybody doing all right? There's people that are King James only, but they listen to people that aren't King James only, and their doctrines are starting to get fuzzy. I'm done. Let's not take away from the Scriptures. Let's realize the Old Testament is as relevant as the New Testament. I love our Wednesday night Bible study on Moses. You're going to start seeing everything all come together. It's wonderful. Can I tell you why? Because the Old Testament wasn't written, Exodus wasn't written by Moses. It was written by God.
Yes.
I'm going to throw water on some of you. Your red letter edition Bibles, well, these are the words of Jesus. Did you know that every word in there are the words of Jesus?
Yes, sir.
Sorry. You say, don't you have one? I'm probably got one somewhere, but it's not because I bought it. It doesn't really impress me. He is the Word of God, not just the ones that he said while he was here on earth.
Amen.
And half the time he was quoting the Old Testament. And it's Scripture.
Yes.
The Scripture of truth. Can I tell you something? First thing somebody has to accept in order to get saved is that they're a sinner according to the Word of God. That's why using the Bible is very important when you go soul winning. That's why our gospel track is nothing but a few scriptures on it. It's a springboard to get your Bible open to show people what the Bible says.
We don't have a 10-page track. If you got time to read 10 pages of a gospel track with somebody, throw the stupid track away and open the Bible and read 10 pages of the Bible. Everybody doing okay? Somebody's trying to show off how impressed they are with their own intelligence. I'm not afraid to say it. Can I tell you something? You won't get anything more intellectual than that right there. The God of the universe that made man's mind. Those words were given in heaven before man was created. I guess then we can trust God. Yes. And you can trust what that book says. Amen. Don't work outside of it. That's why God said, don't follow your heart. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, I just feel that this is... I don't care what you feel. What God say? Amen. Well, I just don't agree, preacher. What does the Bible say? There's times I don't agree with God, but I still do what he says. Let's shut it down. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I could preach all night on this. Let me ask you a question. How much authority does the Word of God have in your life? How much authority do you give it in your own life?